Now, he goes on, and this is quite wonderful here. He says in verse 13, and tear your heart, and not your garments. You see, this is to be a heart experience, and not your garments. And actually, the high priest was forbidden to tear his garments. You don't show it by being a fanatic. You show it by the tear is to be in your heart. And turn unto the Lord. This is repentance. Turn unto the Lord your God. Why? Listen to this. For he's gracious, and he's merciful, and he's slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Now, when we get to the book of Jonah, I'm going to talk about, again, what it means when God repents. We had it back in the book of Exodus. God does never change his mind. God is immutable. God never changes. But when a sinner repents and turns to God, God has said to him, I'm going to judge you. God says, now you've turned to me, I won't judge you. Why? Because he's gracious and merciful and slow to anger, great kindness, and he repenteth of the evil. That is, it looks like he's changed his mind, but he hasn't changed his mind because God's always good and gracious. And that's what it looked like down in Egypt, that God had changed his mind. But God hadn't changed his mind. He kept on sending the plagues to the Egyptians. And the city of Nineveh, God said he'd destroy it, but he didn't. What happened? Nineveh repented and turned to God. And it looked like God had changed, because God had said he's going to destroy the city. But you see, God doesn't. And why didn't God do it? It's not because he changed his mind, but it's because he is immutable. He never changes, and he's always good, and he's always gracious. He's always merciful. He's always slow to anger. He always exhibits great kindness. And friends, you can depend on God. Now, I don't know how this world's treating you. I don't think the world outside's very kind, very gracious, but God is. And why more people don't go to him where they can get a good deal from him. Now he says here in verse 14, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. The Lord will bless you again in the field and in the vineyard, and you'll have a drink offering and you'll have a meal offering to bring to him. And by the way, the drink offering is mentioned here now. And yet, there's no instructions in Leviticus for a drink offering. The drink offering was poured on the other offerings. And it was part of the other offerings, actually. They poured it on, and it went up just like steam, of course, on the hot coals. And Paul, you remember, said he wanted his life to be like that, a drink offering, an offering on the sacrifice of Christ, just to go up in steam, because he felt he didn't amount to too much. But it was important, the redemption that we have in Christ. What a beautiful, wonderful picture that is.